Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Feed Your Wild podcast. And welcome to Taurus season. Happy Earth Day and happy upcoming full moon. So that's what we're going to get into today. I have a special Akashic soul record channeling for you on this Earth Day. And we will be guided into the energetics and cosmic goodness, and also, of course, more of the herbal and medical astrology aspects of things later on in this episode. If you are a first-time listener, welcome. My name is Vanessa Rodriguez, and I will be your intuitive nourishment guide today and every episode. We are at episode 296, which is crazy. And we have actually our anniversary coming up, and I'm reserving a special episode for that that's coming up later this week. So this week is our anniversary week. And so that will be episode 297. It's so crazy to think about how many episodes we have. And so if you are new or you're new-ish, I highly encourage you to go through past episodes. There's such a wealth of knowledge and, yes, yumminess and nourishment, of course, through the various podcast episodes. And even if so-called timed episode, for example, this is because it's the Earth Day of 2024 and it's the Scorpio full moon that's happening on Tuesday. But what I talk about, so many of the elements in here are spiralic. They're beyond the space-time continuum, especially when it comes to the Akashic record channelings. And so I highly recommend that you tune into those. You can use the scrolling of the podcast episodes like a little oracle where you just select what your spirit is calling to, what your attention, your heart is really focusing in on. And there's probably something there for you. These are perennial. So if you have been a listener or you're really enjoying this episode or any other episode, it would be so appreciative if you would subscribe, share this episode with somebody that you love, and give them the gift of whatever it is that you are receiving to share that love. And also rate and review, because it really does help us and helps me to understand what is resonating and what you're loving about these. So thank you so much for your support and appreciation throughout these years. And I'll get into much more of my appreciation and gratitude in our next episode, along with some other fun surprises. So stay tuned for that later this week. Today, like I mentioned, we have Earth Day, and of course, tomorrow's full moon in Scorpio. Okay, and can we just say, yikes, April has been, I know for myself and so many people in my world, in my field, and in my containers, you know, because I do lead programs. I have a practitioner program and mentorship. I have clients. So I'm in there working with people on a day-to-day basis and tuning into what's showing up for them. And my, oh my, has it been intense for so many people. But the through line is that this is really about emergence. April has truly been about awakening and emergence and the seeds, right? Like the seeds for that to occur. And this past weekend of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is, of course, a huge aspect of that. I talk much more about that in the previous episode that's all about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So check that out, even if you're listening to this in the future, because it really does have ramifications for not just the rest of the year, but I would say beyond, like just post April 2024, right? So this truly was a groundbreaking conjunction. And I would just love to hear how things have been showing up for you. And the shifts, the changes, the ahas, the awakenings, it's really fun to hear from all of you, whether it's on Instagram, like DMing me on Instagram, I'm at Wildly Rooted, or just shooting me an email. And I am still in the phases of creating and really tuning into what would be the best format for our community. But there will be some sort of community access so that we can start connecting with one another too and sharing in that very real way. Okay, so gosh, where do we even begin? This is really like a shedding of an old skin. So this second half of April really feels like quantum leaps, you know, and I feel like the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, well, the total solar eclipse, then leading up to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction was such that level of shedding and awakening and cracking open that ushers us through these quantum leaps into the second half of April and beyond. Now, whether that actually is expressed in your external reality or material reality, that may not have happened just yet, right? Because these are really massive changes. And while for some of you that may be true, for many others, it's going to be an unfolding, right? This is like an unfolding that is happening over time. And we just want to honor that. Okay, so in general, I feel that even though this period has felt and probably still has been feeling bumpy, so to speak, bumpy, intense, yes, and spiralic, ultimately, it's really positive and productive. So I'm feeling all the juice from it. I'm really, really grateful for these cosmic opportunities, right, for growth. And I think that's meeting those contractive periods. Believe me, I also had those. There was a lot of emoting going on over here, my Cancer sun ass, having a lot of like dance cry sessions is what I call them, because I use dance and somatic work, right, to really assist me in processing emotions and just things that are stuck and held there and emoting. And one of my primary ways as a Cancer sun is through crying. It's through sacred holy waters of my tears, yeah? So if that's been true for you as well, I know a lot of people that have gone through some dark nights of the soul and on the physical realm, lots of inflammation, even getting super sick, lots of purging action, you know, digestively, orally, like there's a lot there too. And so all of that though is making space. It's making space for what is and what is to come. So April 23rd, we have the full moon in Scorpio. That's tomorrow. So I'm going to get into the specifics on that. We are still in Mercury retrograde in Aries, and Mercury will go direct on April 25th. So we're still sort of at the end of that. We have a couple more days. But I feel that this Mercury retrograde, you know, aside from the like minor inconveniences that can happen, like emails getting lost, just like shit not working, I have really felt the power of these retrogrades in terms of their ability to support us in refocusing and reassessing, realigning, right? All the things that were the re's that are necessary in this very deep work. And I have also reviewed and returned back to some really old for me, I guess you could say friends, such as returning to a love of food and nutrition and sort of like being in service. For those of you who are not familiar with my story, I started as a healing practitioner, as a holistic health coach, and got into nutrition, and then became a functional nutritionist and then a certified nutrition specialist. And so I was a clinical nutritionist with a focus on holistic and integrative nutrition. But of course, all the while also working intuitively and weaving that into my work and my body of work over time. So that's where the title of this podcast, Feed Your Wild, really came from. And so it's kind of coming back home to that, which I think is really sweet leading up to this coming anniversary. But also, it's that spiralic dance that I was talking about, right? Where I'm coming back home to where I began. And Cancer, Cancerians being so much about nurturance, right? And food and comfort and all of that. But reunited and reintegrating all of the other things that I have explored as a Sag rising in Jupiter in my first house. So like really about exploration and getting out there and like philosophy and exploring all the things all the time, which can obviously bring someone to that place where you're sort of the jack of all trades, master of none, which I don't actually buy into. I feel like, yes, there are definitely those cases, but I feel like there is the possibility to gain, quote, mastery in whatever way that you might interpret that in one particular area. But I feel like part of my gift is in looking at all the things and then integrating them and bringing them together. So if that's you, if you're a multi-passionate manifesting generator like I am, don't fret, right? Like it's all good. Just sort of find that core piece, right? It's we have woven within our DNA and our design, these like core pillars and elements that when we remember them and we tap into them, it doesn't matter how far away, quote, far away we might stray from them, we always come back home because we find that, oh, it was linked all along. And that's what I'm really coming back home to. The other piece for me is goddess. And I have a lot to say about this. This is a whole nother episode that I'm going to save for you. And yet, it feels really important to claim that today and in connection with Earth Day today and Gaia. So there's a lot of old, new, old things popping up. And that's probably, I'm assuming this also happening for you. I know for a fact it's happening for some of my clients and students. And it's just really beautiful when we can come back to these places and it might even be like people and literal places, right? Come back with our beautifully aged selves, you know, like aging like that fine wine. I just find that with time and with experience and with integration, there's such a level of depth that we can bring back home to some core, those core pillars or those interests or those areas of focus that we can come back to or that we came from. Okay, so again, go back to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction episode where you hear me talk all about that. I don't want to spend too much time on that because I have an entire episode dedicated to it. That's episode 295. But this conjunction was really like a starting point. It's like an ignition, a jump, so to speak, right? And there absolutely could have been like these sudden, unexpected awakenings. But it can also be very internal, very unconscious, and it's working on you over time. So that, as a follow-up to the eclipse season, especially that total solar eclipse in Aries, and which again, like such powerful portals of change, I feel that tomorrow's full moon in Scorpio is like this opportunity. It's still part of eclipse season. It's still part of eclipse season. It's following up with this energy of that total solar eclipse and Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. But we are now in a different place. We're in Taurus season. So it's a completely different energy and field of consciousness, if you will, and the beautiful opportunities in medicine that Scorpio brings. So I'm going to get into that. And then we will get into the Earth Day Akashic channeling that I received. And this one was really beautiful and potent for me. I hope that it's supportive for you in honoring today and this day. Obviously, Earth Day is every day, right? Like we don't, it's not like, okay, today honor Earth and then forget about it the rest of the year. But I do feel like having Earth Day is a beautiful totem or just sort of like this post-it, like as a reminder of like, hey, Can we collectively bring our consciousness to something in, on this day, and the power of that collective conscious focus and prayer? So it's my intention and prayer that we can tune into this reading and receive it, and then allow it to inspire the prayers within us for Earth, for Mama Earth, for our connection to Earth and one another, and how we can be in service to the greater world and in her beautiful body. Okay, so let's dive into this full moon, shall we? Depending on where you are in the world, it's happening on April 23rd or April 24th in Chicago Central Standard Time. It's happening at 6:47 p.m. on April 23rd. And it's at 4 degrees of Scorpio, shining a light for you. So full moons are really about a culmination, right? It's a completion point, but also illumination. It's the point where we have the most lit up sky at night because of the light of the moon, who is a reflector of the sun, the light of the sun. So again, this full moon is still carrying sort of this energy of the eclipse season and following this conjunction, but again, in a different energy field, in a different expression that is Taurus. The moon is the body. The moon is emotions, our emotions, and complexity versus simplicity. The sun is, it's just there, it's shining all the time. We circle the sun, like I'm thinking from an ancient perspective, right? Of like the sun circling us. But from our perspective, we see the sun moving in very predictable ways. When we look at the moon is not as predictable, right? It's moving kind of spiralically. It is reshaping itself and morphing. And so there's a level of complexity that the moon brings that the sun doesn't. The sun is just, it is what it is, right? It's shining its light all the time. And so this combination of this connection to the body, to emotions, to complexity, with the illumination of the fullness, right? The fullness of the light and the moon, and this culmination, and then bringing in this Scorpio energy. Scorpio is intuitive and helps us to dig into things that are under the surface, not afraid to go into the dark spaces, into the closets, and to get to the heart of something, to get to the heart of like what it is that we actually feel about something, right? Looking at those feelings can sometimes, we just want to put them away. We don't want to look at that. They're inconvenient. Well, Scorpio says, no, bitch. We're bringing them out. We're shining the light on it, right? So that's kind of the feel, I feel, of this moon that can be really supportive post-eclipse, post-Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, is sort of this catharsis and like a shamanic process almost, which I feel Scorpio is so connected shamanically, like, you know, going into those dark places, going into the underworld and soul retrieval. So the sun is in Taurus, also connected to simplicity, right? Taurus likes simplicity, likes, let's just keep it clean and easy, and I like it here at home, right? Versus the complexity that Scorpio likes to stir up. And this moon, in that way, can illuminate fears, can illuminate those fears around change, around loss, because Taurus likes to keep things the same, you know, like once they make it cozy, they don't want to leave. And if you're feeling like, oh, shoot, after that eclipse and this conjunction, like, things are shifting, things are changing, but and you're feeling some fear around that, this moon can support you in highlighting, looking at those with grace, with love, without fear, and to bring a level of, well, Scorpio is so wonderful with detox, detoxification, right? That's one of the things that is both like the wound and the gift that I'll get into when we look at more of like the medical astrology side of things, which are so connected and plugged in. Scorpio energy is really remaining, it's about remaining in your power while you go through major shifts and even those darker, heavier experiences. And we can utilize this energy to help support us in doing that. So pay attention. Pay attention to what's coming up for you. What are the fears? What are the contractions? What have you been avoiding looking at and integrating? What are you absorbing and feeling that is not yours? Because Scorpio, highly intuitive and a water sign, what are you absorbing that is not actually yours? And what are you ready to release and emotionally cleanse? So here we have the moon and the sun making a square to Pluto. So that's a position that's called an aspect that is tough. It's harsh. And Pluto is this planet of transformation, of power. It can feel uncomfortable. It's like pushing toward an inconvenient or uncomfortable truth. And, you know, we could say like Pluto has entered Aquarius, which we talked about previously. Pluto takes a really long time to move signs, right? Hundreds of years. So this is a new era. This is new territory. Pluto and Aquarius, this feels different. And so there's something around like the feelings of discomfort that can come from being pushed, ushered toward facing that inconvenient truth. And Aquarius is a truth seeker, right? But Aquarius also connected to revolutionary energy, to the future, to the collective. So what are some things that are coming up for you around that? And also like technology, there may be some things, maybe highlighting something that you're ready to outgrow, right? Maybe you're ready to outgrow the job you're in, the direction, the path, your friend circle, maybe one particular friend, your choices, habits, where you're living, the place. You know, so just think about what are these things that, man, if you're being incredibly honest with yourself, you've just outgrown. And so now there's fears coming up about that and what that means, because we like to make things mean something, right? Instead of just sort of following what our truth is. Of course, that means, okay, we might have to break up with something or someone. We might have to literally move. We might have to say the thing that I have been holding back saying for years. And so allow this moon to illuminate that for you and to really take a look at that and say, what's so bad about this? And how can I connect more deeply with my heart and who I truly am? And then face this. And how does that feel different? The square requires a deeper look at what the mind has been overlooking. So Aquarius, like I mentioned, collective. It likes to look at the big picture and the collective dream. And so this energy is sort of bringing you back to what's right in front of you that's been in the way, or the thing that you are meant to work through that maybe you've been avoiding. And then looking at how your mind has been conveniently overlooking it, right? Because we have our conscious mind and then we have our unconscious mind, which really controls like 90% of our reality. So how can we support all of our mind to be with the discomfort? And this energy is also sort of, it's pushing the things. So with Scorpio energy, it's bringing things to the surface, right? With Pluto. Two, pushing something to the surface, but it expands your intuition. This Scorpio moon is expanding your watery realms, the emotional capacity and intelligence, your intuitive self, your psychic abilities. Plus, with us being now in Taurus season and the sun in Taurus, we also want to know the practical. We also want to know what's real, what's not real. And I want to have things in a straightforward way. And in an honest way, right? And like in a pragmatic way. So marrying those two. I feel like this full moon after this conjunction that happened in the same sign in Taurus is taking us out of the comfort zone. And it's breaking down the walls and it's helping assist us in releasing the things that have really come up. So it's kind of like the post, like the integrative period post a like a shamanic experience, right? So Mars is the traditional ruler of Scorpio. So we have Pluto and Mars as the rulers of Scorpio. And Mars is currently in Pisces. And Mars and Neptune are currently in Pisces. So Mars is helping us to learn from the spiritual realms, from the intuitive realms and spiritual growth, our own spiritual growth, and allowing a chapter to close out for us. And it is getting closer to Neptune. So when we have Mars and Neptune together, this to me really feels like spiritual action, spiritual insights and sacred action. This is happening at the end of the month. This can look like maybe like implementing a spiritual practice for yourself. Maybe that's like a meditative practice, yoga, tai chi, magical ritual. This can also be more of like a compassionate action, something that is from the healer's heart, right? Action from a healer's heart. Mars, Neptune, that to me in its highest expression. And so it's interesting, this like, this play-by-play, right? Where like the eclipse sort of like set things up, a shift in things, there's a portal. And then, by the way, between the eclipse, so literally the day after the total solar eclipse, we have Navaratri, which is a festival in the Hindu tradition, the Vedic lineage, of honoring the goddess and Durga. And that was for 9 days. It's a 9-day process of honoring the goddess. And it's said that the energy of the goddess is the closest to earth in this time. So how beautiful is that? That literally was lined up right after, the day after the total solar eclipse, and sandwiched between the eclipse and the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. I have a lot more to say about that and in my connection with goddess. And so again, I will share more in a different episode because it's a series because there's a lot there, but how beautiful is that, right? And like the power of the goddess to connect us and to support us in these realms and this sacred time that is really a journey of rebirth and becoming. Scorpio, speaking of birth and becoming, Scorpio is all about death, rebirth. What needs to die? What needs to die in order for you to move into the next chapter in an aligned way? And it requires doing the deep shamanic work to do that. Now, when I talk about like shamanic work, I'm not saying, oh, you have to go work with a shaman or a shamanic practitioner. I'm saying like we do our own shamanic work all the time as humans, as having bodies, right? It's this connection with the spirit realm and with our earthly bodies in this earth realm, this material realm. It's going into those dark places and with the intention of healing and reclaiming aspects of ourselves, reclaiming the light and soul pieces. That's what shamanic work really is when I talk about that. And you can do that. You can do this in dream time. You can do this in your daily waking life. There are many different ways to really allow for that type of practice to enliven in your life. Because of all of this, obviously, this could be a really emotional moon, right? So taking care of your emotions, creating space for emotions to come up and out, for you to feel them and ride the waves, and for your body. You might feel things viscerally, even if they're like emotions moving through you, might have physical reactions. So again, like taking care of your body. This also, just as sort of a side note, with the Taurus Scorpio are it basically the financial axis. All right. So when we look at it from the perspective of like a zoomed out, more collective, it's on this financial axis where Taurus is linked with also money, wealth, banking, resources, and resources agriculturally, like literally the fruits of the earth. And Scorpio connected to power dynamics and, you know, the secrets, that are not shown to the collective or the public about the financial system. And when we look at it from the perspective of traditional astrology and Mars being the ruler of Scorpio, this is like Scorpio, while we might have Aries also ruled by Mars as like the warrior and out to war and doing the thing, that fire sign, Scorpio is that water intuitive sign that's the covert spy, you know, that's like behind the scenes, pushing the buttons and doing the things and like the secret service, like that's Scorpio. And so that kind of energy, when it comes to resources and money and finances and that financial access and power, because so much in our current paradigm, in especially in the Western world, is power is linked with money. So that's just something as a side note that I think might be interesting to look at on a collective stage, right? And maybe it also pertains to you in your life with power dynamics, even within yourself. It doesn't have to include anybody else, but looking at your relationship to money and power within yourself. So I feel that now we'll move into more of the medical astrology side of things. Scorpio really brings together this fearless ability to dive into the deep waters, right? Like the depths of intimacy that many of us are afraid of. And this is intimacy on all levels. It's physical, of course. And Scorpio is also connected to and the guardian of the reproductive organs. But also Scorpio being that psychic, intuitive, watery sign, the psychic and emotional intimacy. I find that, and learning this also from Judith Hill, by the way, if you're really interested or into medical astrology, I highly recommend you check out Judith Hill, who's one of my teachers in this art. And we had an entire episode with her that is Medical Astrology 101. And it's just one of our top downloaded podcasts and favorites of listeners. And it's one of my all-time favorites as well. I'll make sure to link that up in the show notes for you below. So definitely check that out. A lot of what I share in terms of the medical astrology side of things, I learned from Judith. And she has an entire school and so many books. And I know she just came out with a new book. So lots there. So Scorpio sun natives, basically, if you have a Scorpio sun, what I learned from Judith and what I have also seen in my Scorpio sun native clients and friends is that the vital force from the sun is really powerful in the ability to regenerate the body. So Judith says, never assume a mortal, quote, mortal illness is mortal for a native Scorpio. Meaning, like, this is the proverbial cat with nine lives, so to speak. And I knew a person who was a triple Scorpio, sun, moon, rising. And this person literally had a near-death experience, went through a really intense time, and had multiple like accidents and injuries, and still going strong and like became a healing practitioner and is just an incredible human. This is what I'm talking about, right? Like the regenerative capacity, that death rebirth cycle. And that if you have a lot of scorpionic energy, you kind of like, it's kind of written in your design to be able to withstand that. So it kind of falls into your path for some of those things to occur. So there is something about power in that way with that. But that doesn't mean that there aren't complaints or there aren't things that Scorpio natives aren't prone to, right? So let's get into that. Like I mentioned, the Scorpio is water sign. And it's a fixed water sign. And we are also in fixed energy with Taurus. So we have both Scorpionic and Taurus energy here, very fixed in like terms of, I ain't going nowhere. I'm here, right? And I'm here to do the work. And the traditional ruler is Mars, where the modern ruler is Pluto. we'll talk more a little bit more about that in just a moment with Pluto. We also have the tissue state that's connected with Scorpio as being damp stagnation. So the tissue state comes from the energetic system of traditional Western herbalism. And damp stagnation is one of the tissue states that we see typically when there is an imbalance. So damp stagnation, think swampy, right? Where the waters are held in place. They're not moving or in motion. And so in that way, they become stagnant and they can proliferate disease and bacteria. Damp can also just be, if there's no stagnation with the dampness, it's just excess water. So that's the tissue state that's most connected to this sign when imbalance. And health-wise, Scorpios have a tendency to accumulate toxins. They're a fixed water sign. So think about that swamp, right? Like the still waters, they can hold and take on too much toxicity. And that could be from your environment and physical toxicity, or it could come from emotional toxicity, right? So from taking on the emotions or feelings of others or your own feelings, but just letting them simmer and instead of releasing them, which that's the shadow side, right? Like the gift of Scorpio is to actually look at it and to move through. So if they're not doing that, something is up, something is quote wrong. When we look at the body systems, the areas that Scorpio is connected to include the genitals, the reproductive area, the groin area, but also the colon and the excretory organs, the things that are ushering things out, right? So the sphincter muscle, the rectum, but also the uterus, when in connection with the reproductive system, like bring the cervix, the portals of life and the portals of death, right? When we're defecating, we are releasing things that we no longer need. And that death of the metabolic process, right? That like the excretory material from that metabolic process in our bodies is called, quote, waste, which then can be utilized and turned into fertilizer, which cultivates life. So here we see this connection to that death rebirth cycle. And of course, with the reproductive system and the sexual drive and procreation. So lots there to get into. When we look at imbalances and diseases connected here, of course, we could see connections to any kind of imbalance with the womb, uterus, sexually transmitted diseases fall under the umbrella of imbalances here. Anything that's impacted the reproductive organs or imbalances, irregular menstrual cycles, pain in that area too, disorders of the bladder. You can even experience like inflammation or swelling of the reproductive organs, infertility as sort of a side effect of that. And when it comes to the digestive system and sort of that like final area, the last area of the digestive system, we could see any kind of irritable or inflammatory bowel disease or irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and we could also see parasites. We could see hemorrhoids, right? So inflammation there, ruptures, fistulas. So there's a lot there that we can see in terms of its expression when things are held or there's just sort of like the damp stagnation process happening in those particular areas and organs. Now, when we look at remedies for an imbalanced or weakened Scorpio, what do we want? Well, we want to move that water, right? We want to move that water. We want to promote a secretion, elimination. We want to promote detoxification. And usually it's going to be with warming types of foods and herbs and things that can quicken things, that like not necessarily all laxatives, but things that help to facilitate movement. And so this could look like activities that are detoxifying or even purging in a safe way. And this can also, of course, look like physical detox and emotional detox, all the different ways that one can pursue that. But essentially cathartic ways of healing. So creating cathartic spaces for oneself and engaging with intuitive arts and various ritual can be really helpful for Scorpios who are kind of feeling out of balance. Now, with the herbs and foods that can be really helpful, we tend to see things that, well, for the digestive system, things that are deemed, quote, anti-parasitic. So a lot of these, like wormwood, for example, is an herb that traditionally has been used to eliminate parasites, but it's also been used, it's an Artemisia plant, it's also been used as a protector to ward off evil spirits. So we're looking at this on all levels, right? Not just that physical level of purging and detoxification. Aloe is also really wonderful here for as a Scorpio remedy for the digestive system and for elimination, aloe helping facilitate elimination. We see nettles. I talked about nettles before and in connection with Mars. So Mars being the traditional ruler of Scorpio, nettles also being sort of this like panacea, right? And kind of modifying its ability to assist whether it's warming or not. It can be a little on the drying side, but that is actually beneficial when we're looking at a damp stagnation type of situation with our tissues, right? Oregon grapefruit is another one of my favorites that I really got to know living in Oregon. Oregon grapefruit was everywhere in Southern Oregon. And it was just so fun to get to know this plant from straight just walking up upon it and not knowing who Oregon grape was, right? And then to cultivating a relationship and working with Oregon grapefruit. But this was a really beautiful one that I did not know, and coming from Chicago, felt it was really supportive for me and my digestive system as I worked with Oregon grape. So Oregon grape is a powerful bitter that increases the secretion from the GI tract. So it improves digestion, assimilation, and metabolism. It also acts on the liver and gallbladder. And I didn't mention it, but gallbladder is also connected to Scorpio. And Oregon grapefruit is also a blood maker and a blood cleanser. So when we're looking from the lens of detoxification, this is a really wonderful ally. As Oregon grapefruit comes from the Barberry family, and you might have heard of berberine and berberine, especially if you're in the functional nutrition realm, I feel like berberine is utilized a lot in supplementation. And Oregon grapefruit is actually a really beautiful alternative to berberine in similar actions and in terms of how it mitigates the microflora, microorganisms within our digestive system. And so I think berberine has been utilized a lot as a microbicide, you could say. So sort of like this antibiotic type of herb, if we want to categorize it as such, although I don't really like looking at it through that lens. But I feel like that's how a lot of practitioners who aren't necessarily herbalists but are working with supplements might look at that and utilize it. And Oregon grapefruit, coming from the same family, still has that intelligence of working with the microorganisms of the body and supporting healthy blood within the body. And I have found it's pretty gentle. It's powerful, but it's also gentle in its effects when you're not using it too much, right? Too strongly. What's interesting to note about this and the fact that it's in this family is that it shifts the environment that the microorganisms are residing in, are living in, right? Within our guts, and cleansing and shifting that environment. And by doing so, it alters and supports the leaving of, or the killing off, although I don't like to really look at it that way either, of microorganisms that are not supportive, that are pathogenic, that are opportunistic. So it could be helpful in that way. It creates and stimulates appetite, and it helps to improve digestion and absorption. And yeah, and also healing the lymphatic system. It's really great for the lymphatic system. So overall, just really, really helpful for damp stagnation when we see it. And is also considered a cholagogue. A cholagogue helps to stimulate secretion of bile from the gallbladder. So in that way, in connection with Scorpio and the gallbladder too, it's really helpful in its action. And it's a choleretic, which is a stimulant of the liver's production of bile. So not only does it stimulate the secretion of bile from the gallbladder, but also that the liver's production of bile too. One thing that we can see that we might see in an imbalanced Scorpio, and really anybody that has an imbalance with the GI, it might come out in the skin, right? Our skin is one of our top pathways of detoxification. So it's very common to have acne or skin inflammation in any way when there are issues or imbalances in the gut. So Oregon grapefruit is also one of our top remedies for the skin, treating it from the inside out. The yellow root is used for decoction or in tincture. You can also, of course, get it in powder or capsules. Various different practitioners might utilize it in different doses. So you can do tincture of the extract, like 30 to 60 drops, but then you have folks like Matthew Wood using it in smaller doses, 1 to 3 drops, and finding efficacy just the same. So that's Oregon grapefruit. And I also, of course, wanted to pull, as I do with every moon musing, from the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck from Adriana Ayales from Anima Mundi. And today we got hibiscus. Oh, hibiscus, ruled by Venus and Pluto. And I thought this was so perfect. So perfect for this moment. And this card, in card number 14 in her deck, is connected to joy. She says, upright, it's nectar, grace, sensuality, beauty, divine feminine, nurturing creativity and abundance. And again, in connection with Venus and Pluto, and I just love this in coming back home to the self, right? This sort of like self-reclamation, birthing, death, the rebirthing process, and finding the beauty in that too. And so she writes that hibiscus has been used in ancient Egypt and in Mexico and Central America. So hibiscus tea in Egypt was utilized to lower body temperature, to support the heart and the nervous system. And in Hindu mythology, hibiscus is associated with the goddess Kali. And that's the dark goddess of death, time, and change. If you are not familiar with Kali and an expression of the goddess, here I feel that in connection with a divine goddess consciousness, Kali is such the scorpionic one, right? Like she's not afraid to go into the darks and do the things that are required to really face the demons, so to speak, and to ultimately salvage ourselves from the depths of darkness. And in the Americas, the Central Americas, and in the Caribbean, and in Mexico, of course, flor de Jamaica is used. So it's a juice that has been utilized for hundreds of years and also used as a poultice. So not just internally, but also externally, used on injuries and face washes and the skin in general. Midwives have used it during and post-birth for supporting the uterus and tightening the uterus and assisting with excess bleeding. So connected with the arenas of Scorpio, right? But what I love about this card is its marriage with Venus and the power of the divine feminine amidst this sort of umbrella, this scorpionic umbrella, and this moon, and the moon connected to goddess as well. So the Venusian herbs are really those that are helpful for the reproductive system, the blood, the cardiovascular system, the thyroid. And in this way, I think it really also helps support dissolving the blocks or blockages that we might have in these primary centers of the root and the sacral chakra, the first and second energetic centers. And this is what we're looking at when we're looking at Scorpio, right? So it might be interesting to work with hibiscus. Hibiscus is a cooling plant. So if you're already too cold, so to speak, you might want to bring in a warming, like maybe add some cinnamon or some spice, just add something that's a little bit warming to the hibiscus to help support you as you work with it. I love one part of her message with this card. And remember, this card is connected to joy, but she says, don't shy away from your power because you are worthy of it. And I think that that's part of this reclamation, right? When we look at Scorpio and Pluto and Mars, we see power, 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 like this movement and working with power. But there's so much power in the Venusian way, right? It's just, it's different. It hits different. And so mirroring those two. Now, what's so interesting is what came up for me as I was connecting to hibiscus and the Venus-Pluto connection. So Venus also being connected to desire and attraction. And Pluto is sort of like this extreme and, you know, this like the power dynamics there. Frida Kahlo has a Venus conjunct Pluto in her natal chart. So Pluto and Venus are together in Frida Kahlo's chart, and they're squaring Saturn. So what's so interesting about that is, and we know Frida Kahlo, deeply erotic and intense expression. That is Scorpio, right? Like ruled by Pluto and Mars. There is, of course, that deeply erotic and intense expression within her relationships, but also within her art and her life. Like she dealt with these death rebirth cycles throughout her life and the themes within her art as well. She had physical chronic pain from experiences in her life that were incredibly challenging. Like I believe she got impaled by something in a freak accident and was bedridden. And then she had polio. And then she also had some challenges with carrying a baby and fertility. And she even expressed that through her art, her miscarriage, and showing that. So these intense dynamics and themes of birth and death and rebirth cycles inside of her art and finding the beauty in that with Venus, in its raw messiness, right? And like even a vile way, like looking at it, like, oh, like that's kind of grotesque, but so deep, and finding the beauty within that. And that is primal love. And of course, then woven in there is a sort of like obsessive, possessive expression through Pluto. And you see that play out in her relationships, relational dynamics, like her and Diego Rivera. So it's just so interesting to see how Venus-Pluto plays out in her expression as Frida Kahlo, but also in that connection through hibiscus. We see the part of the flower of the hibiscus that's used medicinally is called the calyx. And that's this red fleshy sepal component of the flower. And what's so beautiful too is the calyx is also through etymology, but also through myth and through symbolism, is connected to the Holy Grail. That might turn into a totally different episode. So we'll just put a pin on that one and come back to that because I think it's really fascinating and beautiful. But in terms of the herbal actions of hibiscus, we could see if we want to say that anti-inflammatory is an herbal action, although I feel like it's kind of just sort of blanket statement, but it would fall under this category. It has a ton of antioxidants in it. It's cardiotonic, it's antimicrobial, and it's really supportive for lowering cholesterol. And so if there's like hypertension, but it's also diuretic and it helps facilitate the elimination of urine. So again, that elimination kind of expression that we see for Scorpio. And it's also a demulcent. It comes from the mallow family of herbs, and those tend to be really demulcent and supportive for the gut and for the reproductive system, for the body in general and bringing in moisture and that juiciness of support. It's really high in vitamin C, and it's got some minerals and soluble fiber, and it's just one of the most lovely and healthful beverages and teas that you can have, especially during the summertime as it's very cooling. So if you have things coming up like sores, sore throat, mouth sores, or anything throughout the digestive tract internally that might be painful, hibiscus can be helpful in soothing because it has that soothing quality. So that's it on this medical astrology component and some of those herbal allies. I'm now going to move into our Akashic Soul Nourishment Channeling for today as Earth Day 2024. And I'm not going to go over any kind of post-analysis with it. I was really called to share this and just let it simmer for you and within you. And in that way, I would love to hear what comes up for you as you receive this. So here we go with today's Akashic Soul Nourishment Channeling. A day of reckoning, not unlike the wrecking ball, but more so like the reckoning of one's shadow box, the puppet show, the strings previously held tight, now cut loose like a noose that relinquishes its grip upon your breath. And my, does it feel like a new day as you fall deep into despair, delight, twilight, neither here nor there just yet. But oh, how precious this moment is to behold the birth and death of light and night, the crowning of the new sun. Life has just begun. Again and again. This is the gift bestowed upon you, a new chance to dance with the fates, the same stage, but a different show. Can you tap into that moment, that feeling in your belly, just before the curtains have fully opened or closed? This holy suspension, liminality with anticipation, and yet fully surrendered, ready for what's to come. Remember your agency in this sacred moment. It becomes the medicinal elixir that brings healing to the whole, a surrendering of time and your grip upon it. Letting go of the story, it serves you no more. This opens space for the memories of her holy body to flood through your own, a communion of hearts, a resurrection of love, a gasp of realization that you and Earth are one. So that was our channeling. I hope that it's supportive for you as you receive it. And if you need a little extra support and insight and would just like to be held in your own crucible and process of death and rebirth or whatever's showing up for you in this really potent time, I still have openings for one-on-one Akashic Soul Record readings. So these are 60-minute intuitively channeled readings that we get to do together. And I channel in insights, intuitive insights and messages for you and a possibility of a bunch of other stuff. I never know what's actually going to come through, but it's all based off of your questions and inquiries and where it is that you want to really focus in. And it is my greatest honor to do these. I love them. I'm closing out the doors for that for the summertime. So if you are feeling like you need some support, I highly recommend that you go over to wildlyrooted.com/Akashic Records, or you can simply scroll down and click the link for that one-on-one Akashic Record reading and get it in the books. I would love to support you and connect with the wisdom that's available to you for this time. With that, I'm sending you all my love, and until our next episode this week, take care and be well.